mission as we look at a much sort of bigger picture in Afghanistan comes from Stephen Biddle now. He's a senior fellow for defense policy at the Council on Foreign Relations, who's just returned from a month in Afghanistan. There you hear some of the tactics, the close-up challenges for a helicopter pilot evacuating the wounded. But it's all a part of this surge that's taken place in Helmand Province, 4,000 Marines supported by people like the pilot we just spoke to. Stephen Biddle, what is the state of the surge mission at this point? They want to take territory and hold on to some sort of civilian nation-building mission. How's it going?
Well, in Helmand Province in particular, so far it's been going reasonably well. The casualty level, although it's higher than in quieter times in the war, is lower than some had feared. I think with the resource level that we're devoting to operations in Helmand right now, there's a reasonable expectation that we'll be able to clear the key population areas. And then importantly, to hold them against reinfiltration efforts by the Taliban. The trick at the moment, though, is that the resource level we have in Afghanistan as a whole isn't enough to do what we're now doing in Helmand across the entire country.
Now, when you say resource level, you're talking not just about infantry fighting soldiers, but you're also talking about infrastructure to support those soldiers and, more importantly, the civilian infrastructure that's going to be brought in to actually do the nation building. We're short on all of these, right?
That's right. And even when we're talking about soldiers per se, we need both Western soldiers, and in Helmand there are large numbers of British and American troops operating, but also Afghan national security forces. Wherever possible, we'd like to have the Afghans in the lead with an Afghan face on the operation defending their own country, supported by us. At the moment, the Afghan national security forces are too small and too immature, too early in the training process to be able to shoulder that load.
Which raises the question immediately of something that we were told yesterday on the program, an embed with some of the the army units that are in Afghanistan, said that the perception among coalition forces is that the Taliban are tenacious fighters and that coalition technological advantages over the Taliban fighters don't necessarily equal the playing field in their view. What do you think of that?
Well, the whole problem in insurgency and in guerrilla warfare generally is that the insurgents adopt methods that tend to mitigate the effect of a high-technology opponent. We've seen that over and over again from Vietnam to the Soviet experience in Afghanistan to Iraq to Afghanistan today. Hiding, the use of cover and concealment, intermingling with civilians, operations in difficult terrain, all make it hard for a high-tech military like ours to use its equipment to full effect. You end up being forced into a much lower capital, higher labor form of warfare in which large numbers of troops are a necessary prerequisite for getting the job done.
So there was a report this week, though, that said coalition forces are considering opening up talks with the Taliban. What is that about?
Well, when people talk about reconciliation, as it's sometimes called, in two different forms. One is at the high level trying to drive wedges between the factions that make up the Taliban. The Taliban are not a homogeneous, monolithic entity. It's this fractious collection of actors with very different interests and very different objectives. In principle, you could imagine focusing on some of the differences in goals between different elements of this coalition and trying to peel off or flip some factions. The other way people talk about this is at the retail level, at the individual combatant fighter level, where many of the Taliban's fighters are in it not because of some ideological commitment to Taliban-style governance, but simply to get the pay they need to keep their families fed and housed.
Well, that's a challenge, certainly going forward, not only winning the hearts and minds of the Afghan civilian population, but winning the hearts and minds of Taliban fighters who are in need of those funds. 68,000 troops in Afghanistan by the end of the year. Sounds like maybe it's a down payment. Stephen Biddle, senior fellow for defense policy at the Council on Foreign Relations, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.